Okay, get this. Imagine being a teenager and deciding to tell off one of the most famous writers of the Beat Generation. That's exactly what Genesis P. Orge did, firing off a scathing letter to William S. Burroughs after finding his address in a magazine. Turns out, young P. Orge thought the whole Beat scene was a sham, a bunch of artists pretending to know each other for credibility. Talk about making a first impression.
It's a pretty bold move, right?
Yeah.
But this little anecdote speaks volumes about P. Orge's audacity, their need to challenge established norms. Mm. And you know what? It actually led to a lifelong friendship with Burroughs years later. They bonded over this shared fascination with cut-up techniques, this radical idea of slicing up existing text and rearranging it to create something entirely new.
It's like shaking up a snow globe of words and seeing what crazy patterns emerge. But this wasn't just some artistic game. How did these cut-up techniques actually manifest in P. Orge's work?
Well, think of it as a metaphor for P. Orge's whole approach to life and art, disrupting the expected, breaking down boundaries, questioning everything. They were deeply influenced by Burroughs and Brian Geisen, pioneers of this technique. It's about interrupting the flow of information, forcing you to confront familiar things in a completely new light. And this theme of subversion, of challenging control, really permeates everything P. Orge did.
And it's clear that P. Orge's childhood played a role in shaping this rebellious spirit. They described growing up in Loughton as living in a real-life fairy tale. But then came the stark contrast of boarding school, this rigid, oppressive environment.
It was a prestigious grammar school designed to churn out model students destined for university. But for someone like P. Orge, who thrived on creativity and questioning authority, this transition was jarring. Imagine going from a world of imagination and freedom to one of strict rules and conformity. It's no wonder P. Orge was drawn to disrupting the status quo.
And it clearly left a mark. P. Orge even talked about having this recurring nightmare well into adulthood of being chased across rooftops by someone wielding razor-sharp hooks. You can't help but wonder how those early experiences, that feeling of being trapped, fueled their need to escape, to break free.
Absolutely. Those early years were crucial. They planted the seeds for P. Orge's lifelong fascination with pushing boundaries, with seeking out alternative realities, and challenging any form of control, whether it be societal norms or artistic conventions. It's like this undercurrent that runs through their entire life.
And then comes the cultural earthquake of the 1960s. The Beat Generation explodes onto the scene. You have Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg, this whole movement rejecting conformity and embracing alternative lifestyles. P. Orge was captivated, weren't they?
Totally. This was a period of immense social upheaval, and the Beat Generation was right at the forefront, challenging everything from traditional values to artistic expression. P. Orge was a sponge, absorbing these influences, letting them shape their own evolving worldview. It was a perfect breeding ground for someone who already had this innate desire to challenge and disrupt.
So we've got this fascinating cocktail brewing a rebellious spirit forged in childhood, a fascination with disrupting norms through art, and a deep dive into the counterculture movement of the 1960s. What happens when you mix it all together?
It explodes into COU and Transmission.
Yeah.
A group that took everything P. Orge had been exploring and cranked it up to 11.
So we're talking like a group of artists living on the fringes in Hull, engaging in wild, confrontational street theater.
Exactly. Pushing buttons, challenging people's perceptions of art and reality.
And they weren't afraid to get their hands dirty, right? I mean, there's that infamous Golden Horde incident. They basically stormed a supermarket, filled shopping carts to the brim, and left without winning. What was the thinking behind that?
It was a calculated act of social commentary.
Yeah.
A critique of consumerism run amok. Remember, this is the early 70s, a time of growing disillusionment with materialism.
Right.
COUM was holding a mirror up to society, forcing people to confront their own mindless consumption. And they didn't stop there. They even had run-ins with the Hells Angels, which, as you can imagine, led to some pretty interesting encounters.
Yeah, I read about P. Orge staring down a horde of bikers while wearing a Victorian nightgown. That takes guts. But amidst all the chaos and confrontation, there's this incredible love story that unfolds. This is where Cozy Fammy Tutti enters the picture. Tell me about their connection.
It was electric from the start. Cozy was a fearless artist in her own right, and she connected with P. Orge on a level that went beyond the artistic. Their relationship became a reflection of Piorge's evolving ideas about identity, blurring the lines, challenging traditional roles, exploring the depths of human connection.
And their collaboration was explosive. They pushed Seo Yoon to new extremes, but eventually the group morphed into something completely different, even more radical. Throbbing Gristle. Now, this is where things get really interesting for me. The birth of industrial music.
Exactly. Throbbing Gristle wasn't just a band, it was a sonic assault on the senses. Forget melodies and traditional song structures. This was about noise, industrial soundscapes, unconventional instruments, and live performances designed to confront and unsettle.
I heard they once played a gig where the speakers were facing the ceiling so the audience couldn't even see them, just hear this wall of sound, and people rioted, threw toilets at them.
It was provocation on a whole other level. Throbbing Gristle wanted to strip away the artifice of traditional music and expose the raw nerve of human experience. They were exploring the dark side of modernity, the anxieties and alienation lurking beneath the surface. And they did it with this uncompromising intensity that both repelled and captivated people.
They were definitely not interested in playing by anyone's rules. I love that story about Piorge meeting Tony James, the bassist for Generation X. He was auditioning musicians for his new punk band and made some snide comment about Throbbing Gristle's music. What did Piorge do? Let me guess, Piorge didn't just let it slide.
Oh, absolutely not. Piorge decked him right then and there, sent him flying across the room. It perfectly encapsulates their commitment to their vision.
So it's more than just music.
Throbbing Gristle wasn't just making music. They were making a statement. And then comes Lady J.
Yeah, this wasn't just another chapter in Piorge's life. This was a complete reimagining of it. This relationship went beyond the conventional, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. With Lady J, Piorge embarked on the Pandrine Project, probably the most radical expression of their desire to transcend boundaries. The Pandrine Project was about dissolving the binary of male and female to achieve a unified, androgynous being of Pandrogen.
It was more than just a statement about gender identity, though, wasn't it?
Right, it was a lived experiment. Pushing the boundaries of art, philosophy, and love. Piorge and Lady J underwent a series of surgical procedures, not to conform to a specific gender ideal, but to sculpt themselves into a reflection of each other, blurring the lines of their individual identities.
It was a radical act, for sure, yeah. A physical manifestation of their commitment to breaking down societal norms. But beyond the shock value, what was the message behind this physical transformation?
Think of it as a challenge to the very idea that identity is fixed. Piorge and Lady J were pushing back against the need to categorize and label everything, especially when it comes to gender and relationships. They documented their surgical journeys meticulously, viewing each procedure not as a cosmetic change, but as a step closer to dissolving the boundaries between their individual selves and achieving a shared physical form.
It was controversial, for sure, but that was always the point for Piorge, wasn't it? To provoke, to challenge, to force people to confront their own deeply held assumptions.
Exactly. And, you know, even with everything we've discussed, I think we've only just scratched the surface of Piorge's impact. Their influence continues to resonate in art, music, and even social activism. They left behind a legacy that is impossible to ignore.
This whole deep dive has been an incredible journey. So what do you think is the most important thing for our listeners to take away from Piorge's life and work?
I think it's the power of questioning. Of refusing to accept the world as it's given. Piorge's life was a testament to the idea that we have the power to define ourselves, to create our own realities, and to challenge the systems that try to limit us. Whether it's through art, through personal transformation, or through simple acts of defiance, Piorge reminds us that the greatest act of rebellion is to live authentically.
And maybe that's the most enduring legacy of Genesis Piorge. A call to action, to question everything, to embrace fluidity, and to never stop pushing the boundaries of what it means to be human.